Matt Gaspers is the managing editor of Catholic Family News. He's on the Dude Maker Hotline with us here and is the first official guest of the Mike Church Show, having now moved back to 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time broadcasting. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Doing very well, Mike. How are you?
I am well.
You were just in the eldest daughter of the church I see on social media.
Yeah, was I? Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I was in France. I wasn't tracking. Yes, I was just in the eldest daughter of the church. And have you been?
Unfortunately, no. Someday I'd love to.
Well, if you ever get the chance, let me just tell you, I was telling someone yesterday, if you ever get the chance to go to France, go. As a matter of fact, I told my priest, I told Father Ken, I said, it may not be the France of the Enchamp regime, right?
Right, right.
You may not have all the nuns running around in habits and priests running around in cassocks that you would have seen 300 years ago.
Sure.
But if you're in the Vendée, especially, any vista that you get to, any hill that you get anywhere, as far as the eye can see in any direction, steeples with crucifixes at the top of them.
Yep. I can believe that. I would love to go someday. I'm actually, my superior, Dr. Brian McCall, who's the editor-in-chief of Catholic Family News, got to spend some time. He was teaching a summer course at Oxford, and he's actually just getting back to the States, I think, either today or tomorrow. And he and his wife got to visit the famous, I forget the name in French, but the Church of the Sacred Heart. On their wedding anniversary, his wife posted that on her Facebook page, so that was cool to see.
No, I remember him talking about that at the Catholic Family News Conference in Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he told the story at a table where we had lunch. So
okay.
I'd heard that. There's something else. I was in Chavagnes, which is in the south of France in a region called the Vendée. And
right.
Within a one-block walking radius, there are three magnificent 19th-century pipe organs.
Wow.
One is at the chapel in Chavagnes that they have for the school there. One is directly across the street and is the Our Lady of the Assumption church there in Chavagnes, which is like the kind of like the diocesan, the parish church. If you live in that town, that's probably where you go.
Sure.
This one was made by a German guy, and I'm trying to remember his name. I had the picture on my phone because people like getting pictures. But he puts his initials on this 60-foot-tall pipe organ in big letters, of course, being a German, of course he did. G.G. is the guy's name. It's so difficult because when they built this thing in the 18th century, you would have had, or the 19th century, you'd have had foot pedals, right?
Sure.
Like kind of like riding a bicycle. You'd have to churn the air into the container, or into the ballast, if you will, so that you could force it through the, when you hit a key, it forces it through one of the pipes, which is tuned, right? Well, it was so difficult on the organist to do this that you could only play maybe one song per part of a mass because you'd be out of breath from sitting there having to pedal this thing. So
yeah.
some genius finally figured out how to rig an electric motor pump up to it. And I got an electric motor pump hooked to it. So you have that one. And then right around the corner is the chapel where the sisters, the Ursuline sisters, have this beautiful four-story in the shape of a U, 400 and some odd room seminary where they still teach the sisters how to become, they're doing missionary work now. They have a chapel there, and they have a pipe organ. that is over 180 years old, too. So within walking distance, we actually did a little pilgrimage on Friday afternoon after the conference was over at Shavagna, the Anointed Imagination Conference. We actually walked to all three of these pipe organs. And then the little Frenchman who went with us, he actually had permission to play. He's the tuner. And he actually had permission from all three of the churches to play. So we got a song at each one, too. Talk about a special event. So, yes, go to France if you have the chance.
Yes, a good friend of mine, my kid's godfather, is an excellent organist, and he also speaks French, so we'll have to take him if we go.
Now, wait a minute. Could you apply your lead guitar rock musician skills to play in pipe organ?
Kind of like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra or something.
People don't know that Matt Gaspers his big conversion to Catholicism came at World Ute Day in what, 2000?
2002. Kind of the culmination of a process of getting more interested in the faith and realizing the importance of it, and basically God giving me my dream of playing on a big stage in front of a bunch of people, and realizing that, you know, God, it says in the book of Psalms that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart after they've been purified and made ready for his purposes. So yeah, that was my big moment of decision. Like, am I going to, just like in the book of, Joshua, I believe it is, where the Israelites are getting ready to, they finally need to go and conquer the promised land, and Joshua tells the people, you know, decide this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord, the one true God, or these other false gods of the peoples around here? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that was kind of my decision point.
Now Matt is being far too humble, because not only was he going to get to play on this big stage, but Il Papa was also in attendance. So
yes,
His Holiness Saint Pope John Paul II was actually there. Is there a photograph of you and the Pope somewhere?
I did not. I didn't get to play on stage when the Pope was on the stage, but I did play on the same stage on which he was eventually giving addresses and stuff. Unfortunately, by that time, you know, his Parkinson's was already pretty far advanced, and he was in his wheelchair and stuff. But it was, I mean, you know, for all of the things that we could fault him for, the one thing that I do still admire him for was the way that he dealt with that illness. And, you know, it would have been very easy for him to resign the papal office in that situation. But, you know, hopefully he accepted his illness as a, you know, purifying suffering, and
as a mortification of sorts,
right,
a chastisement, maybe even. I'll like Bishop Sheen used to say, be very careful when you ask for trouble. When you ask for trouble, especially to the Blessed Mother to save souls, because she'll give you trouble in spades.
Yes, that's exactly right.
She's happy to give you trouble in spades. Matt Gaspers is the managing editor of the Catholic Family News, which you can find online at catholicfamilynews.com, hiding in plain sight. It's an old school, actually published newspaper. Yes, there is a digital edition, but I like to support the newspaper side of it. So you can actually subscribe, and a newspaper arrives at your door. What, twice a month, right?
It's actually a monthly publication, so it's the Remnant, our collaborators, our brothers in arms, they publish every 2 weeks.
Okay,
and we publish monthly.
And just because I saw this the other day before Matt and I get into talking taters here, John Vanari was the founder of Catholic Family News. And when you think, if you know people that are in Catholic media, you go, you know, those people are sticks in the mud. Those people have no sense of humor. They're all doom and gloom, a little clouds over their heads. There's a very funny video that Matt posted on Twitter, One mistake, and we'll kill you. Matt posted on Twitter about 2 weeks ago, and it was John Venari in a recording studio with some dude playing a banjo, and it was a parody.
That was actually John himself playing all of those instruments.
Oh, was it? Was it?
It was, yep.
It was very funny. It was very funny. It was something.
I think it was based on the Cat Stevens song, "Me and Julio" or something.
Yeah, "Me and Julio Down." No, not Cat Stevens. That's Simon and Garfunkel. "Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard."
Yeah. So John had a great gift. He was also a musician. He actually gigged in the bar scene as a teenager and young adult back in the. Like late 70s, early 80s, before getting serious about the faith himself. And so he was a gifted guitar player and just had such a wonderful sense of humor. So for the family synods, I think it was for the first of the two in 2014, he recorded this video, "Me and Bergoglio Down at the Synod."
It's me and Bergoglio down at the Synod.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny, but my point being that we can all practice our vocations. Like somebody was trying to tag me yesterday. Would you, King, dude, your Veritas Radio is Catholic media? No, we're not. We're just really good at what we do, and we just happen to be Catholics. As my producer Maggie O'Connell says, and this is our story, and we're sticking to it. We see the world through Catholic goggles, as the First Commandment says that we should, and that's the extent of it. Why people would have a issue with this, and why others don't do similar, and I know that you do, is beyond me. Which brings me to our first line of inquiry here. There now, this story broke the day before, or it didn't break, but the genesis of this story happened the day before I was getting on my plane to go to Chavagne, France. So there was a video that was posted. I saw the headline on the way to the airport. I told Mitish Chur, who was bringing me, she goes, did you see the video that Michael Voris posted about the SSPX? I said, I saw the headline. Because somebody forwarded to me, I read the pyramid, which you know they teach you in journalism schools. Everything is in the first paragraph, the description.
Sure.
I read the pyramid. No, I didn't watch it. She goes, well, I did. And she was asking me questions. And I'm like, I haven't seen it. I don't know. But I just wanted to open this up because you get involved in this. And I just wanted to say to the audience that were discussing this, I actually asked my parish priest yesterday, and he was familiar with it. I asked him, and I want to be very clear about this because I don't want to get a basket full of you wackos out there sending me, you say this, this, this. I asked my priest, I said, Father, is the SSPX in schism? Father said, Mike, no. He goes, and there's more that came after that, but I want Matt to pick it up from here. So what happened with this, did someone send you this video? Did someone ask you to comment on it? Walk us through the process of how you kind of got involved in this alleged feud between you and Michael Voris.
Right. So just to be clear, it's technically not a feud directly between Voris and Catholic Family News or myself. It's I'm going to read the headline so folks can find it online. So on July 23rd, so that's like early, not this past week, but the previous week, like you said, Church Militant published an article with the headline, a rhetorical question, is the SSPX sheltering a sexual predator? So obviously clickbait, you know.
Right.
That's a very strong headline. And they obviously wouldn't be asking the question unless they believed that that's the case, that the SSPX is sheltering a sexual predator. So I wasn't actually aware of the article until a friend of mine tagged me on Facebook and asked, does CFN have an official response to this? And I didn't even know anything about it at the time. So I looked at it, and essentially what this article, and it was written by, I'm looking it up right now, written by a freelance journalist named James Baricel, So he's not like a Church Militant staff writer, but obviously Church Militant publishing it, they're the publisher. Ultimately, they're responsible for it. So just to give a very brief overview of this case, it actually involves the priest involved is not a society priest. His name is Father James McLucas,
okay,
who is a priest of the Archdiocese of New York, who apparently has helped in the recent past on occasion. Sometimes when a diocesan priest, but this is my understanding, just me talking, my understanding is that when a diocesan priest might have an interest in joining a group like the Society of St. Pius X, in other words, a traditionalist group, they would express their intention and maybe do some time of discernment. It's not like they're just thrown into a chapel or a parish or something and have total access to all the people immediately.
Right. That's
sure. Ridiculous. That's not how the process works. And interestingly, this priest actually years ago, like back in from 97 to 2000, was actually discerning in that same way with the priestly fraternity, which is a break off from the society as a result of Archbishop Lefebvre's 1988 consecrations, and some of the members of the society thought that they didn't agree with that decision, so they broke off, and magically overnight the Pope John Paul II decided that tradition has a right to exist, and coincidentally, quote unquote, the priestly fraternity came into being. So anyway, back to Father McLucas. I mean, the known facts of his case, I'll try to give a very brief summary, because it's not as, bottom line is, it's not as cut and dry as Church Militant would have us believe.
Okay, all right.
This article that was written and written by the Freelancer and published by Church Militant, number one, it's very obvious that the man has a clear bias against the society. Just to give a few examples, in his original article, is the SSPX sheltering a sexual predator? Here are some phrases that you find this man using. Quote, renegade organization. That's how he describes the society. Traditionalist apostolate of a disobedient or schismatic nature. Formal disobedience. Those three phrases are all found in the original article. So you can't tell me that this guy doesn't have some sort of agenda to defame and discredit the society. And add that to the fact that we know for a fact that Michael Voris and Church Militant have a years-long, clear, extreme bias against the Society of St. Pius X. One person on social media who actually identified herself as a paid subscriber and a longtime supporter of Church Militant posted a blog after I got into discussions in the aftermath of defending the society. I mean, even she was able to recognize that the Church Militant harbors basically like this irrational hatred of the society. So my take is that this is just another, it's been a few years since Church Militant, since Michael Voris released that series of videos, just an all-out assault on the society and coming at it from multiple facets. That was back in 2015, and John Denari, my predecessor, made some videos in response to that, answering the false accusations about the society. So here's what we know about Father McLucas.
I just want to interrupt quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matt Gaspers is a managing editor of Catholic Family News. I asked Matt on the show, and he agreed, to discuss this with our big boy underwear on. This is not an assault. You go run back and go tell Mr. Voris and Miss Niles or whoever, you know what they're doing over there. We're actually going down what has transpired in a very public forum and things that have been said very publicly about, in particular, the Society of St. Pius X. From my own point of view, because this is a Mike Church show here, so let me just say, my experience with the society is overwhelmingly positive. All I had to do is say, Father Michael McMahon. End of case, shut the door. That's a great priest that you would want as headmaster of your school if you ever met him or you ever heard Father McMahon speak. Father Robinson, we began this year, 2019, with a little debate. Father Robinson went along with it. Father Robinson wrote the book, The Realist Guide to Science and Religion. We had an issue with one of the chapters on creation. Father Robinson says this about the Big Bang, and then we brought in a very in a fair forum, in a debate forum, we brought in Robertson Jenness and Hugh Owen to comment on this. There is no harm, you people. There's no harm in adults having disagreements. It's life, for heaven's sake. All Matt and I are doing is having a discussion about something that is that has been made seemingly controversial. That I can see why people go, "Would you mean schism?" Can I hear it all the time? I'm like, "No, they're not. Prove it. Show me the schism. Where is it?" I hear this all the time, and it's this kind of clown car seltzer watering inside the tent that, in my opinion, and in the opinion of Michael Matt as well, because I've heard him talk about this, and so have you, Matt, this shooting inside the tent is what gives tradition a bad name. It's what makes other people go, "Why would I want to join you guys? You're always shooting at each other. You guys hate each other more than people on the outside hate each other." So why not have adult discussion? So I asked Matt on to have an adult discussion about this, and that's what we're doing. Just wanted to throw that in, brother.
Amen. I completely agree. So I just want to try to summarize as quickly as I can the details that we know about Father McLucas. And Church Militant did cover some of this ground. They left out certain details, which I need to finally get to writing a response article myself. So after all of this broke, the Society of St. Pius X did release an official press release responding to the attack, to which Church Militant responded with a couple more follow-up pieces. And if people visit CatholicFamilyNews.com and they scroll down the news section or whatever, they can find the article. Well, it's technically not. It's just a reprint, basically, of the Society of St. Pius X press release. But our headline ran, and this was on July 25th, SSPX responds to Church Militant accusations. So back to Father McLucas. So here's what we know. The court documents for his case, it's all in the state of New York. It's in the public domain. So I'm going to read one thing that Church Militant failed to mention in their reporting is that, so first off, Father McLucas was sued in a civil case in 2012 by a young woman who claims that he basically, from the age of like 14 to 20 or 21, he was counseling her for something to do with an eating disorder, and then he ended up initiating sexual contact with her, sexual relations, basically.
I remember this case, right.
Yeah. So Church Militant brought up that lawsuit where the young lady accuses Father. What they failed to mention is that this case was, well, I think they did mention that it was settled outside of court, but part of that settlement was an agreement into which, a confidentiality agreement into which Father McLucas and the young woman, Maureen Nisewander, at the time, she's now Mrs. Maureen Buckley, because she got married sometime since the case settled. So she sued in 2012. It was settled outside of court in late 2013. And then not even a year later, or maybe around a year later in like the fall, October, November it would have been early 2015, Father McLucas actually sued her because she breached the confidentiality agreement.
Ah.
And so there's more to the story than Church Militant would have us believe. So I just want to read a couple of pertinent lines. So let me see here. I'm looking at the court document, the initial, like, explanation of why Father sued her in early 2015. So it says here, on or about July 16th, 2012, the defendant, Maureen Buckley, who's the young lady who originally sued him, commenced a lawsuit in the Supreme Court of the state of New York with all of those allegations that I mentioned earlier about him initiating a sexual relationship with her after she was overage. And it says, on or about September 23rd, 2013, all parties to the action entered into a confidential settlement agreement and release. So they weren't supposed to discuss. They were legally bound, in fact, not to discuss any details of the case. The agreement, quote, was to remain forever confidential and was to be introduced, not to be introduced in any proceeding except to establish conclusively the settlement, et cetera. Lots of legalese here. So long story short, neither of them were supposed to discuss the details of Ms. Nisewander's allegations after that settlement and the confidentiality agreement. So in the summer of 2000, so that this court, this case was settled, the original case was settled in September of 2013. Fast forward to the summer of 2014, and Father McLucas was basically serving as a chaplain to a Carmelite monastery in Pennsylvania, in Ellsburg, Pennsylvania. The
okay.
Carmel is Mary and Joseph.
Okay.
And it was at that time that somehow Miss Nisewander, who is now Mrs. Buckley because she got married, she broke the confidentiality agreement and told someone who worked at the monastery or had a close connection to the monastery about her accusations against Father McLucas. And before I forget, I want to emphasize, these are simply accusations. Father was never found guilty in either a civil or a canonical court. So the man has never actually been found guilty of these allegations. But church militants' slant is that they want people to just presume guilt. And the supreme irony of this, as the society pointed out in their press release, is that church militants own, you know, quasi-pastor, where Voris and others who work for Church Militant go to Mass in Detroit, their own priest, Father Edward Perrone, has been recently, before all this stuff, before Church Militant posted all this stuff about Father McLucas, their own priest, Father Perrone, was suspended by the Archdiocese of Detroit for what the Archdiocese deemed, I forget exactly how they phrased it, something like a credible accusation that had the semblance of truth from many years ago, but nonetheless, he's been removed from the parish and is not currently allowed to function as a priest in the Archdiocese until the Archdiocese investigates and comes to a conclusion.
So they want the presumption of innocence for their priest.
Exactly.
But not that's the presumption exactly right. of innocence for Father McLucas, who, as you say, has never been found guilty of anything. Now,
correct. As Church Militants points out, the details of the respective cases are very different, but the bottom line, as someone pointed out on social media shortly after these articles broke, is that it doesn't matter. It's still you're still using a double standard. Like, you can't, and that's ultimately what the society said, you can't act as the prosecutor for Father McLucas and the defense attorney for Father Perrone. That's not fair.
So, and all you did was point this out.
Correct. And also, you know, I had a couple of back and forths with Christine Niles on social media, and then Church Militant also runs a Twitter account, which is fine. But, you know, when they start, whoever actually administers the account, which they don't disclose who that person is, they actually were getting kind of belligerent with people who were challenging their narrative. So a couple of times I asked, you know, I said to this anonymous Twitter account handler, "Hey, how are you? I'm Matt Gaspers, managing editor of Catholic Family News. Who might you be?" Cricket, cricket, cricket. So come on, people. Like, if
chirp,
you want to
chirp, chirp,
engage in public argument and debate in a public forum, use an account that actually has a name attached to it. That's just common decency.
Well, you know, Matt, I get into this all the time with people. That when I say, especially on Twitter, one mistake, we'll kill you. I attach my name to my accounts. I attach my name to the accounts that we use, CrusadeChannel.com. People know that I'm the founder and the owner, if you will, of this, because I want people to know. When we put a product out, when we put a show out, it's that, well, I wonder who's backing them. Well, I can tell you who's backing them. I'm backing them. Right. Now, I say...
And interesting, just to interject something real quick, interestingly, in all of this debacle, Michael Voris has been conspicuously silent. And I actually, on Twitter, more than once, I tagged him to hope, you know, to kind of draw him into the conversation, because supposedly it's his organization, he's the man in charge. Well, you would think that he would want to jump in and take responsibility and say something. So actually, one time when I was engaging the anonymous Twitter account, CM Twitter account handler, I asked, you know, Michael Voris, is this you with whom I am exchanging tweets? No answer. So what is the deal? Like, and the other interesting thing I noticed is that, so the original article published by the Mr. Baricel came out July 23rd. Then the Society, the following day, the 24th, the Society released their press release response. And then also on the 24th, after that press release had been published, Church Militant itself, not this freelance guy, Church Militant itself responded to the press release with a new article, and now they're no longer even asking a question. They're simply declaring SSPX defends sexual predator. So again, the whole headline is based on the false presupposition that Father McLucas is found guilty of sexual predation, and that's simply not true. An accusation does not equal guilt. What's interesting is that speaking of remaining anonymous, that article simply says that it was written by, quote, Church Militant. Church Militant didn't write the article. An individual person wrote the article. Who wrote it? So I found out in my exchanges with Ms. Christine Niles on social media, it sounds like she's the one who authored the article. So why not attach your name to it? I just don't understand that.
Well, there's obviously some desire to maintain some anonymity when it comes to, as we began this conversation with, as you said, this is plainly clickbait. Now, some of this has a bearing, I think, on how this media, and we only have about 2 minutes left, Matt, on how this media is disseminated and how it's consumed. You know, our Lord tells us to be in the world, not of the world. It seems that far too many, in quote, Catholic media, close quote, have not gotten the memo on the of the world part. You want to play the exact same game that the libtard media plays, using the clickbait, using the headline argument, using the, you know, all that, as I tell in some of my talks, my friend Joseph Pierce, I say, you know, Jimmy Buffett has a song, he said, you know, whoever dies with the most amount of toys wins. And I say, well, no, Joseph Pierce says it correctly. No, Markle, whoever dies with the most amount of toys dies. We forget. We're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. We're supposed to be the ones to set the example. We're supposed to be the Saint King Louis the Ninth. We're supposed to be the, before he's the saint, Alphonsus Liguori's. We're supposed to be, before he's the saint, Father DeSales, patron saint of the Catholic press. Can you imagine Father DeSales doing some of the things that, quote, Catholic media, close quote, does today? Hell, that some of the priests that I see that are out there do today, Matt. Can you?
Certainly not. I think they'd be horrified.
I think they would. And I think that there's again, our Lord even tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, this is not this is not to single out Church Militant, because I know what's the little spies out there are going to go run back and report this. Go ahead, listen to the tape. This is to say that, you know, my friend K.V. Turley told me when he and my wife and I met in London, he goes, enough of the Catholic media. Why don't you just try being really good at media and then be a Catholic? If people would just do that, there'd be a lot more honesty and a lot less sniping and a lot less of these internecine wars. Matt, you're a good friend of the program. I think you've done a great job at taking over for John. Catholic Family News is a stand-up organization. It's actually run like a newspaper with an editorial department that cares about the name and the heritage that they've been given from Mr. Venari. I'll give you the final word, brother.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate that. And, yeah, I just want to close on saying that I have no personal animosity. I think that's how Christine Niles, what she accused me of on Twitter when we were doing one of our back and forths. Like, in her mind, apparently, the reason why I'm opposing what they're doing is rooted in personal animosity towards Church Militant, and that's simply not true. I actually told her on social media that I appreciate a lot of the work that Church Militant does as far as exposing corruption in the hierarchy and stuff like that. That's very important stuff.
Sure it is.
What I don't understand and what I will vehemently oppose, as my dear predecessor did, is their irrational hatred of the Society of St. Pius X and their incessant spreading of lies that the Society is in schism, which ultimately is, I think, the root of this whole series of articles. It's a different way of coming at it and trying to get people to think that the Society is infested with corruption all the way up to the top, because they also make some other allegations about, you know, supposed cover-up of abuse cases and stuff. Michael Matt is actually going to be covering that on this week's episode of Remnant TV, so I'm looking forward to watching
that. Oh, good.
But ultimately, just to reiterate, as John said in his videos back in 2015 when Voris was going on the attack against the Society and actually explicitly on the attack against the Remnant, Angelus Press, and Catholic Family News, referring to us as, quote, reactionary Catholic media, we have no beef with, like, we're not initiating these attacks. We're simply responding to them.
Correct.
So I have no personal animosity towards Michael Voris, Christine Niles, or Church Militant. I just want true and fair and reporting that has integrity and is not just trying to get people to click on, you know, like clickbait headlines and stuff.
Well, I want to thank Matt Gaspers, managing editor of Catholic Family News, for being my very candid first guest here today in the return to morning drive. I think that should put a nice coda on your coverage thus far. And keep up the great work, Matt, and we'll have you back on real soon.